Our first reading comes to us from the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 13 through 18.
This is the word of the Lord. Our second scripture reading comes to us from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 25, verses 1 through 13.
But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring him with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven as first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air, so that we Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is the word of the Lord. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You'd better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." This ends the reading of God's holy word. May God add many blessings to the hearing of it. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we've come into your house and gathered in your name to worship you. Enable us to hear your call in our lives. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts here together be found pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Something you may not know about me is that I always like to be prepared. I like to be over-prepared at times, and this has actually been a detriment. Before, I went to seminary call center, and if you've ever worked in a call center, you know if you're taking phone calls, you're supposed to take as many as possible. And when I first started out, my job was to troubleshoot credit card terminals for places of business. And someone would call and they'd say, "My Trans 330 or my Omni 420 is acting up." And I'd say, "Okay, let me put you on hold and I'll look at what we have." And this caused my hold times to be too long, my calls to be too long, but I didn't want to keep putting them on hold. And this made my calls be longer, but eventually I learned so much that I flew through my calls. But that's probably something that the Norwegian Viking cruise line wished they'd learned. This past week, they were not prepared enough. Their ship, the Viking Sky, was in the Norwegian Sea when it ran out of oil. And they tossed back and forth, and waves were crashing through windows. People were injured. And it was like something out of a thriller. They had to have a helicopter come and lift people out one at a time, evacuating 479 people in the middle of the night, one at a time, by helicopter. Today's scripture talks about running out of oil. And as I told the children, today's scripture is not one that I care for. The narrative lectionary gave us two options for today: this parable or the parable of the talents. The parable of talents is one I'm very familiar with. I've preached on several times. I'm comfortable with it. It's a good, solid message. And this one, which I really wrestle with. And my instinct was, now first you're probably wondering, why don't I like this passage? Well, first, they start by dividing the bridesmaids into two groups, the foolish ones and the wise ones. And really, the foolish ones are the ones that run out of oil. But what is it that makes them foolish? It's not their fault that the bridegroom was delayed. They brought enough oil until he was supposed to get there, but he was late. So late that they all fell asleep. Not just the foolish ones, but the wise bridesmaids all fell asleep. He was so late that when he finally got there, they went to light their candles, and then there was no oil left. Their fault. I don't like this passage because then the foolish bridesmaids go to the wise bridesmaids and say, "You've got all sorts of extra oil. Share some with us." And the wise bridesmaids say, No, we might not have enough for us. We need to build up our stores here on earth. We need to make sure there is enough for us. Don't worry about you," which seems counter to so often the gospel message. And finally, I don't like it because then when the bridegroom finally gets there and the foolish bridesmaids are off looking for oil in the middle of the night, which is no easy task because they didn't have Walmarts, they go into the bridal party, they shut the door, and when they get there, they pound on the door, say, "Lord, Lord, let us in." And he says, "No, I don't know who you are." And we're left wondering, where is the grace in this story? From start to finish, it's a difficult story. Here, listen to it again. "At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise."
But if you think that you are wise at this age, become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. 1 Corinthians 3:18.
The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep.
In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus came to his disciples and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "So, could you not stay awake with me for 1 hour?" Matthew 26:40.
At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up, trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out."
"A smoldering wick he will not snuff out." Matthew 12:20.
"No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you."
"Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you." Matthew 5:42.
"Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves."
Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell all your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." Matthew 19:21.
But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived.
In the city of God, they will not need the light of a lamp, for the Lord God will give them light. Revelation 22:5.
The bridesmaids who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet.
But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. Matthew 19:40.
And the door was shut.
"Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces." Matthew 23:13.
Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I do not know you."
If a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered. Proverbs 21:13.
So in rereading this passage, we see that it runs counter to Scripture in so many places. It goes counter to the gospel of message. Yet Jesus says this is what the kingdom of heaven would be like. So now, as with all stories, as with all parables, it's not a direct correlation. We have to read into it. And the first thing we do is, I always ask myself, where is Jesus in this story? Is he the groomsmaids? And as I read this all week, I really wanted him to be one of the foolish bridesmaids. That would make all the stories of the gospel fit together. Think how wonderful that is, that the bridesmaids are there and needy, and the rich won't share with him. So they go out looking for him, and they're shut out of the party. And that seems such a Jesus thing, to stand with the poor, the oppressed, the needy, those without. But the last text of the scripture, "Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." That pesky, that can't be it. So that Jesus must be the groom who's delayed. So next, ourselves. We're not the groom, that's Christ. So are we the foolish bridesmaids? Are we the wise bridesmaids? Are we the ill sometimes or other? We're probably fall into both roles at different times in our lives, at different times during our week, even in different situations. What if the wise bridesmaids won't share their oil? What if oil doesn't mean oil, but what if oil is something that just cannot be shared? Christ tells us that as disciples of Christ, we are to be a light unto the world. That we are to be filled with Christ's Spirit and let it shine so that others can see the path that God has led before them. That we are to reflect the light of Christ. But we can't do that. What if the oil is our spiritual reserves? What if the wise bridesmaids had their spiritual reserves filled up? They'd just been to an incredible worship service at UPB, heard some fantastic preaching, and went out filled with the Spirit. That's not something you can easily give to someone else. And as I said, we fall into both roles. There are times in our lives when our spiritual bank overflows. When try as we might not feel God's presence. We might not know where God is leading us. Where our spiritual tanks are on E. What if that's where the foolish bridesmaids find themselves? Well, that wouldn't make them foolish if that happens to everyone. So what is it that makes them foolish? What if they're foolish because they refuse to admit that their spiritual tanks are empty? What if they're foolish because they refuse to make themselves vulnerable? They ask the other bridesmaids for oil. The bridesmaids say no. So they go off to find their own oil. They're afraid to sit there in the darkness. They're afraid to live in the light of someone else. They buy into the myth that we have to do it all ourselves. The most repeated scripture or phrase in the New Testament is, "Do not be afraid." Sometimes when our lights, when our lamps won't burn, we have to let the lamps of others burn for us. We have to let others carry the load. We have to let others show us the way forward. If we binded the myth that we could do it all ourselves, pretty soon we have no need of Christ. If we could do it all ourselves, if we could find our way on our own, if we could refill our tanks ourselves, then what need do we have for Jesus, for God, for the Holy Spirit? If we could refill our own tanks, why can't we save ourselves? Why can't we give ourselves salvation? We can't. Everything that's expected to us weigh us down and drain our tanks. That's okay. Remember, even Jesus Christ had to withdraw from the crowds and the demands and be by himself to pray, to re-energize, to re. On the board, many times we've talked about how can we help the members of our congregation more. When they're sick, when they're hospitalized, when they're moving, when they're having surgeries, when any number of challenges come up. How can we help them more? And one of the problems is they first have to let us help them. They have to first be willing to accept help. And that's where the foolish, they can't be a lamp, a light in the world. They can't see the way forward. So they have two options. They could bind a myth that they can do it all by themselves and go and buy more oil. Or they could look at their friend and neighbor who's shining a light for me. Yes, I'll be in a little bit of darkness, but I'm held secure by the love of God. One thing about being a pastor is that I look out during hymns and I could see who's singing and who's not. And not all of you sing. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you don't sing. I'm not going to put you on the spot. I've learned my lesson there. When I was in Illinois, I remember going up to one gentleman and saying, "Bill, why don't you sing?" She died after a long battle of cancer. She was always the songbird, and we would sing joyously together. When I cannot find my voice, I let the congregation lend me their voice. And they sing glory to God, and I give glory to God. Even if I can't bring myself to how vulnerable Bill was in that moment in admitting that. How scared he must have been. He knew that in that way he was out of oil, so he let the church lift up their lamps and use their oil and show. And they weren't foolish for running out of oil. It wasn't their fault the groom was late. They weren't foolish for falling asleep. Both the wise and the foolish fell asleep. They were foolish for thinking they could do it themselves. They were foolish for refusing to make themselves vulnerable. They were foolish of being afraid in the darkness, and they were foolish for not letting the neighbors share. That's why we're here as a faith family, because there's going to be times when each of us stumble and trip and fall to keep going. There's going to be times when our oil runs low, when our spiritual tanks are empty. And you look to your left and look to your right, and you've got a brother or sister next to you who will be more than happy to lift their lamp a little bit holder and show you the way forward.